Daniel chapter 6. Let's get into the Word of God here and hear what the Lord has to say for us tonight. We're going to read in let's go ahead and start in verse number 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over those three presidents of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might have accounts to them and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Skip down to verse number 10, because of course they come to the king and they give him the plan. Let's see what happens. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. And let's pray. Lord, thank you for the reminders of faithfulness from your word. Thank you for this man and his not only, Lord, the story. It's not a story. It's not a fictional story. It's not a fake story. It's not a fairy tale. It's a real events that happened to him. And Lord, he lived a life that was pleasing to you. Not in everything. We're all sinners. We all do wrong. But I pray, God, that you'd help us to be instructed from this man, Daniel, tonight, and take heed to the things that we learn from your word. Lord, please help me as I preach. Help me to say what I ought to say. And God, I pray that the message from the Bible would go forth and carry in our hearts for however long it is needed. And Lord, many times through the week, we need these truths. Lord, going into a new year, going into Christmas time, help us to make sure that we don't forget what we've heard this year from the preaching behind the pulpit here. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I love the Bible and its clarity and the things that if you'll just read it and think about it, it's enjoyable to read the stories and the accounts of these men. And if you go back to Daniel chapter 1, of course, he's taken in captivity. And we see here he's younger in this story at the beginning of the book. It's neat because we get to read Daniel, and I know that there's some interesting things found in Daniel. Some people would read them and say, I don't understand that. Thank the Lord we can understand the Bible through reading it, through listening to preaching and help from God's Word. And honestly, the Bible helps explain some of its own self, which is amazing. And so you need to make sure that you're a student and studier of the Bible. That's not what we're talking about completely tonight. But in our world of technology, words are important. Printed words are important. And we preached about that in many different ways from the pulpit here. But a lot of words take new meaning the farther in time that we go. And if you'll notice, the world uses words a lot. They love to throw out terms and change the... By the way, don't let them change the meaning of some things. Be careful how we use them. And I understand there are things I can't use in a public setting as a word that we would all know the real meaning of, that the world has twisted. And so be careful that the way you use words. But, you know, there were words that used to mean one thing, but technology and society has changed them. You know, a tweet used to be a sound a bird made, not somebody's random post somewhere, all right? By the way, a post is still a poll, all right? And if you post something on the poll, you posted it, okay? Anyway, thank you, Facebook. Also, a status. The word status used to mean more than just what what you ate for supper. I guess that's a post. I don't... Whatever. All right? Don't critique me on my Facebook terminology, all right? But, you know, a status used to mean... didn't just mean some kind of thing that you posted out there for everyone... Posted or tweeted for everybody to see, all right? You know, some people's status, though, if you think of that word... You know, on Facebook, they have singled or married, all right? Raise your hand if you're married, and raise your hand if you're single. Okay, there you go. There's your status, all right? Don't raise your hand and say confused, okay? All right, that's not a good thing to be confused on, all right? If you're confused on that and you're married, then you're soon going to be single, okay? Oh, no, we don't encourage that either. All right, I better be quiet. However... Regardless of your exposure or desire to participate in social media and its crazy terms, you can, by the end of the message, we're going to look at two words that came up not only in the Bible here, but related to this story here of Daniel. I wanted to give you the two words before we start. The word is status and conduct. Status and conduct. And Webster, who it is interesting to go back and read how that's changed, But Webster's 1828 defines these two words. I'll give you an example. Conduct is this, your regular life, your behavior, okay? The mode of carrying on. Your mode, your conduct, is how you behave, all right? And here, of course, we see a picture of that in the book of Daniel. Your status is basically, that's an interesting word. When I looked that up in Webster's 1828, he did not include that word. It was around in the 1670s. It was called the height of the situation. What's the status on the situation? What has it reached? Has it reached critical level? All right. If you're in the military, you know how, you know, they're going to give you the status of a lot of things, all right, all the time. And we are using that word, whether we use it or not, or whether we understand it or not, we do use it in our day-to-day life. The word status often, this is an interesting, would be your legal standing, the legal standing of a person. The man's status was he was in debt. The man's status was he was under judgment. Whatever that would be. And then basically it just means this, your condition, your position. We would use it as, you know, these two words could be interchanged. Your status and conduct by you could be your power, your position, right? Your title, depending on where you're at. But then your conduct would be your behavior. So I know many people who have the title of something that their behavior doesn't seem to match.
Right.
All right? And that is the lesson here today. That's what I want you to start thinking about, because the truth is, you know, our position, title, whatever it is we have here on earth should match or be related to our conduct in some way. By the way, they work together. Some people have a status and it helps improve their conduct. Okay? But that doesn't often happen that way. Usually your conduct dictates your status. All right? And so I want you to be thinking about that. In fact, I found some people who had something to say about it. Benjamin Franklin said, we can give advice, but we can't give conduct. All right? We can tell people how they're supposed to act, but they have to do it. Laws control lesser men, but right conduct controls the greater ones. That's Mark Twain. Mr. Johnson said, almost all absurd conduct arises from the imitation of those whom we cannot or should not resemble. Almost all absurd conduct comes from us imitating people that we shouldn't resemble. And you know what? We got to be careful about those things. In the Bible, though, Daniel's a special man. Let's look back at this Daniel chapter 6. If you look right away in verse 1 and 2, the whole problem here has to do with status. It has to do with the power that they were talking about. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over the three presidents of whom Daniel was first, by the way, his status was number one out of three. So there were two other guys who were, you know what, they made it to the top three out of 120. I would say their status is pretty good. They shouldn't complain about that. But there's got to be, listen, there's got to be a number one. There can't be a three-person ruling. All right? And the king knew that. And by the way, ultimately the king is in charge. Okay? It doesn't matter if he puts Daniel as number one. There is somebody. Listen. There's always somebody over you, right. All right? And by the way, you say, well, who's that? God.
Right.
All right? All right? You know what? I love raising children for the very fact that you can teach them from that age, you know, by the way, the order of the home. We were talking about this. Hey, do you have these kind of conversations around your table? You know, mom's helping the kids understand something and mom's in charge, right? But what about dad? He's here. Oh, when dad's here, dad's in charge. Oh, and dad's always in charge, you know? That's just, you know what that is? That's us being on a team. I'm not down in her. She's not down in me. She's letting the kids know the order of things, all right? And then they looked at me, and you know what? This comes up. Who's in charge of dad?
Come on.
God is. And I sat there in front of my kids and said, God is the one in charge of me, all right? He's the one I answer to in that regard, all right? And how we run our home. So here we have in the book, here it is. It's a status war. It's a problem. It's going to create the situation we're about ready to see. And notice what happened here, though. Okay, then Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. He's going to elevate his status above everyone else. Of course, the guys in number four, these guys don't like this. In verse 4, they come up with a plan. And they say, well, if we can... let's go ahead and read it. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could not find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. By the way, his conduct was why he had number one. His that verse is why he was number one. There was no problems with Daniel. All right. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against Daniel except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. So Daniel was that, just like that quote there, laws control lesser men, but right conduct controls the greater. It's not that laws are to be ignored. It's that the conduct of Daniel elevated him to the best status. Okay. And so we find there in verse 10, now when Daniel knew, and this is the amazing verse, I love this verse, the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened, his chamber towards Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees. There's his conduct. He's doing what's right. 3 times a day, and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. Well, what do we know about Daniel? Well, regardless of this, he did not let his conduct be dictated by the world. He didn't do that, all right? He didn't let the decree of some man tell him how he should conduct himself when it came to him and God. Okay, he didn't let the conduct of the world, all those other men who weren't going to do that, he didn't let their actions influence his actions towards God. Hey, listen, I love that word aforetime. You know that's mentioned a few times in the Bible, but if you go do a search on that word, it's never mentioned this way except for with Daniel. It doesn't say anyone else did aforetime like Daniel is here. There's a lot of other references to the word, maybe I think it's about 10. But only Daniel, it's mentioned that, you know what? How he always behaved, he behaved again. Right. How he grew up, how he knew what was right, he woke up and did it again. And that would be the lesson that we're looking for in this word of conduct. And by the way, he does make it out of the situation. If you look at it, in fact, the king even knew that his conduct was right. Look at verse 16. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake unto him and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually. He said, Daniel, your conduct's going to save your life.
Right.
So the way you act is going to save your life. Yeah. The world knows that, by the way.
Right.
All right? They can see it. It's what they ought to see when we go out soul winning. They ought to see that, man, there's those Christians again. They're knocking on my door every week. What's the deal? And at first they don't like it very much, and usually they're critical of it. They're going to criticize your conduct if it's right. They're like the 120. But somebody's going to recognize that your conduct is doing something for you. All right? They're going to recognize that there's something different. And the Bible even tells us to be ready. Max was memorizing that verse in his pace the other day. To be ready to always give an answer of the hope that is in you. And you know what? Your conduct eventually is going to give you that chance.
Right.
To tell somebody about Jesus. And here we find, he says, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. He will deliver you. Now, Brother Young, why would we talk about this? Well, I want to give you a little bit. We're going to stay here with Daniel. We're going to keep him there. But I also want you to turn over to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. A second Bible character comes to mind here. And because of the Christmas season, because of the time it is, we're reading through these a lot. And I'll mention this man to you. And then I want to just do a couple things. I'll tell you what we're going to do, and then we'll be done. But we're going to read about Daniel. We've done that. We're going to read about this man, Zacharias is his name, Luke chapter 1, and his wife. And then I'm going to give you the reason these two words came across my mind just a few weeks ago. Look at Luke chapter 1, verse number 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they were both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right hand of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Now we know the rest of the story. Zacharias and Elizabeth become the parents of one of the greatest preachers, or to tell Jesus how Jesus said it, nobody has been born like that. Nope, he was an extra special man, John was, and he was not just a man, he was a preacher and a man of God. But here I find that his dad, even though we see that there's a little doubt going on, right? You read the rest of the story, he loses his speech. He has to wait until after the baby's born, until they come to the naming of John, and he's able to open his mouth and say, "This is John, all right? This is how it's supposed to be." But here, notice how many times there's those words of faithfulness in there. Look what it says. He's of the course of Abia. He was righteous before God, walking in all the commandments of the Lord, blameless. And it says down here, it just gives his routine day. Ready? "And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course," he had a certain time where he was supposed to do this, if you study that part out. And it says, "according to the custom of the priest's office." You see, Brother Young, by the way, if you search the word custom, which would kind of be what we're talking about here, right? Your manner of living, your consistent action. It's amazing how many times the word custom shows up in the story of during when Jesus was born. You know why? Jesus came to take the Jews and say, "I know you have a bunch of customs, but I'm here not to get away with everything, but to change how this is going to work." All right? And that's an amazing thing that he was trying to, if you read the Bible, it's just amazing how many times in those Gospels that word custom shows up. You would think it'd be in the Old Testament, and it is. But by now, here in this time, there's a man, you know what he's doing? He's faithfully serving the Lord. He's faithfully serving the Lord. And God looks down and he picks out Zacharias and Elizabeth and says, "You know what? I'm going to pick people who are faithful." And I know you say, "Well, it's because he's related to Mary." I understand that. Okay? I don't know how many people were related to Mary and all that. But guess what? You know what he did with Mary? He looked down and said, her status was special too. All right? These people didn't just accidentally fall into these categories. Their manner of living and the status that we hold them at now were something that God knew about. All right? He looked at those two words in their life. By the way, he does that to you right now. The Lord's looking down and he sees your conduct, and because of that, he puts you at a certain status. Where's God? Where are you? If you had to be rated by God, you know, where would we fall? What would your status be? You know what? He would look down at me sometimes and say, "Roger's not as faithful as he needs to be. You know, Roger needs to walk more with me. I wish he would talk to me more. I wish he would do this a little bit better." And you know what the truth is? We're all sinners, and that's the truth. But here, I find Zacharias, and we're going to apply that in just a minute, but I find out that, you know what? Look how many times those faithfulness words are mentioned. He simply was just living his daily life, serving the Lord, doing what was right. And that's why God chose him to do this. Now, in our world today, we have a world that's, if we wanted to talk about the status of the world, well, then, you know, join the boat. There's plenty of people talking about that. But we have a double standard when the world brings these two words to the table and they talk about status and conduct. And I want to give you where I heard these words, and I'll let you go do your own research on some of it. But, you know, the sad thing is, when they say, "Oh, we want you to behave this way," they really have a double standard in that. They want us to behave differently because we're Christians, all right? We are not the normal. If you follow the Bible, if you do Bible principles, if you live this way, they're not talking about you most of the time. When they give announcements, when the world tells you how to behave, they're just trying to get you to conform to what their logic would be. And so really, it's not a double standard anymore. Slowly, what we used to call the double standard is now the standard, right? That's what they want. They're done calling it a double standard. They're just sitting there giving you what they want the standard to be. And an example came up about this, and this is where the Lord put a question in my heart to study out when it comes to Daniel and these guys, is this. I was listening to and reading, there's a Supreme Court decision that happened, and there's been a lot of things happen in our country recently. I hope that you would keep up on some of that if you can. But one of them was, they were discussing, and I know that we're all familiar with the time when there was a baker who refused to give service to a homosexual couple. If you remember that, big court decision, big problems, and of course that was a deal. Well, they were reviewing and discussing another case that just happened recently. It's called 303 Creative versus Alinas, and it was just discussed this week. And what they were doing was they brought up this thing, this little phrase called refusal based on status. Refusal based on status. How that would be a wrong thing for me to refuse to do something for you based on the status of your life. And truly, in many cases, you know, I shouldn't always. But refusal based on context is acceptable, right? You walk into a store, guess what they have on the window? An order of conduct. No shirt, no shoes, no service. All right? They have some kind of thing. That means if you break the conduct of that place, they don't have to serve you. But they can't refuse you based on your status. You can't walk in and they say, nope, we only serve, you know, pink-haired people here, all right? Whatever it is, okay? Now, by the way, that you get all that. See, here we go. That's a conduct issue too, all right? You can. Hey, there is lines. There are things in America. By the way, you know, before the court system got involved in this, probably this was all less confusing, okay? Be careful, you know, how involved you get in that. But it is crazy, and it's disheartening to sit there and read and listen and try to understand. Thank God for lawyers, and I hope that we have some Christian ones, amen? And so if you know a Christian lawyer, I'm serious, pray for that person, all right? If you know somebody involved that's a Christian, if they're saved and in that kind of stuff, you pray for them. Put them on your prayer list, especially somewhere, and just say, Lord, please help this person to uphold God's word. Because when you read through it, it's interesting. But here's the thing. The argument was pressed that this group of people should or shouldn't be, and they basically, if you remember, the Christian was supposed to cater to that crowd. But they asked the question to the man, the defendant, and they said, is this crowd supposed to cater to Christians then? Is that the way it works? Is that the way it's going to be? If the Christian has to do it for them, do they have to do it for the Christian? And the man bold-faced and answered this way. He said, some circumstances. Okay? Some circumstances, status and conduct are inextricably intertwined. That jumped out at me and I had to think about that. He said, there are some times when you meet people and their status and their conduct are inextricably intertwined. They can't separate them. Now listen, if you start thinking about that, that should be anybody who believes in anything. Okay? By the way, as a Christian, your status as a Christian ought to be very intertwined with your practice. If you believe in it. All right? Listen, I'm just saying, I don't believe in the false religions, but guess what? More power to them. They oftentimes, and this is where the world's confused about it, they're oftentimes better at their status and their actions being intertwined. Whereas they see Christianity, and they say, well, their status and actions are nothing alike. And this is the danger to the Christian, is that we would let the world use these terms, and by the way, they are using them in the courtrooms, and they're changing the way the laws of our country are made. They've been doing that for a long time. But a lot of it has to do with, I know it's just terms, but a lot of it has to do with the fact that we dropped our conduct a long time ago and tried to keep the status where it was. But this man was arguing, and it's a false argument, and we can see in a minute the absurdity of that argument. All right, how over here it's okay if, you know, it's not okay if the Christian didn't serve them. But over here, it is okay if they don't serve the Christian, all right? Now, I don't know why that situation would ever want to happen. But basically, the thing is this. This, of course, in general doesn't include religion. He basically said, in general, the laws don't allow that that your conduct and status are not intertwined when it comes to politics. He mentioned Democrats and Republicans. And religion. Oh, unless, you know, you're a non-traditional religion. Then there's she called it a carve-out. The lady asked her, the court person, questioned and said, well, what are you doing? Creating a special carve-out for this group of people? And he basically said, yes, all right. That's what they're doing. Be careful for that. And the reason I didn't want to do that just to scare you or to make you, you know, doom and gloom or whatever. But you ought to go read that. If you want the information, I can let you go read it. You can read the whole thing. Okay, you can listen to it, whatever you want to do. But you know what? It raised an important question to me in my mind. Does my conduct reflect my status as a Christian? Is my conduct inextricably intertwined with my status following the Lord? If I was put on trial for my faith, if our Christianity were to be defined by what we've accomplished this week, or what we've done to the Lord this week, if I was watched three times a day, like Daniel was. They didn't have Facebook, they had nosy neighbors back then. But you know what? They knew where to find Daniel. They watched him and they saw it. Hey, listen, does the world know where to find you? And if they do know where to find you, is it one of those places that should match the status and behavior of a Christian? And that challenged me because I'm listening to this lady and she's questioning this man and I totally am opposite of what that guy believes and he's totally opposite of what I believe. But the truth is, Many times their status and conduct are inextricably intertwined, however we want to define that. But you know what? When you see a certain person and they say or they're a certain thing, you know how they're going to behave. Yeah. All right? Yeah. But let me ask you this. When your people at work know that you're a Christian, or do they know that you're a Christian?
Right.
Right? Have you told them about your status? And by the way, if you've told them about your status, your behavior ought to back it up. And so it struck me as a Christian that these two words are super important, and how the world is throwing them around and how they're bringing them into court cases, we ought to give great regard into these things. I wouldn't say this is a Christmas message. I would say this is a New Year's message. Yeah. This is something that you need to stop and go, okay, I want to look at last year, and I'm going to decide. I'm going to look at it. I'm not going to decide. It's too late. You can't go back and do any of last year again. This year, you can't go back and do it again. But you can look at, how many times did I do this? How many times did I go soul winning? How many times did I make it to church? How many times did I pray for that person? And by the way, I'm not saying we're not doing right. I think we live in a church that's doing wonderful things for the Lord. But the truth is, if I don't stop as a dad, as a Christian, as a father, as somebody who's supposed to be doing right, as somebody who's saved, if I don't stop and look at where I'm going, okay, pretty soon that conduct is going to bring that status down. I want you to realize these things. Ready? Number one, realize your original status from birth is a bleak one. Okay? Your original status is something that is very doom and gloom. You're a lost sinner.
Right.
All right? For it, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. I don't care how long you've been in church. I don't care if you've been to Christian school. I don't care what you have done. I don't care if you read the Bible through 10 times a year. You were born a lost sinner.
Right.
Everybody was.
Yeah.
Number two, realize that your current status is only changed by somebody who is unchangeable.
Amen.
And that the status didn't really change. Just the adjective in front of it. You're not a lost sinner anymore. You're a saved sinner. Some people think that once they got saved, that status just changed. All right, and they act like that when they come to church. The world needs to not see people who are trying to live like them. We shouldn't be blending in. But you know what? Your status should be changed. I hope that it's changed. By the way, if you're lost tonight, please come and get that thing changed and trust Jesus as your Savior. But herein, I love these verses talking about how God doesn't change. Hebrews 7:23, and they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, that's not talking about a man, by the way. It's talking about Jesus. Because he continueth forever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. His status does not change. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. I'm glad that I found the one whose status will never change. And his actions will never change. And his conduct. Think about, and there's so much you could teach on this and preach on this and write on this or whatever you wanted to do, but God's conduct can't change. All right? He has it all right. He has every single thing. You say, Brother Young, well, why does he show mercy then? Because that's part of his conduct. That's part of who he is. Well, Brother Young, how can he execute judgment and follow through and then also show mercy? I don't know. I'm human. I couldn't do that. But God can. And I'm glad he does. All right? Here's where we get down to these people we just read. Number three, your code of conduct starts at a young age and it affects your future status here on earth. It does. It may not affect your salvation status at all, but our position here on earth is severely affected, good or bad, by our conduct at a young age. Think of these people here. Daniel, how did he become first? He purposed in his heart that he wouldn't defile himself with the king's meat. Hey, long before he ever advised a king or ruled a country, he made a decision to do what was right. He decided, my conduct, even though I'm in a land where no one else will see it, no one else will know, except for my friends, I'm going to do it right because God knows. Hey, listen, you know what? Jesus did the same thing. You say, really? I thought he was God and he was perfect. He is, but guess what he still did? Decided to do what's right. Okay? Jesus still purposed in his heart. Jesus still decided that this was going to... Long before he became the Savior, he chose to be your example. Long before he became the sacrifice for me on the cross, we have Christmas time where he was born. I love this time of year because we remember the fact that Jesus chose to come down here and die for our sins. Hey, listen, you guys' code of conduct starts right now. My code of conduct starts right now. The way I operate starts when I'm young. Parents, it starts when your kids are young. I was listening to Brother Robert Ross, Pastor Robert Ross, preach a message on the family not too long ago, maybe in the summer while I was mowing lawns. And one of the things he said is, your kids by the age of 7 will have developed many of their permanent habits. Many permanent habits by the age of 7. And you know what? That hit me. My son turned 7 not 2 weeks ago. And you know what I was thinking? I had to stop and say, okay, as a dad, how's my conduct been in helping him with his conduct? You know, have I been trained? What have I been letting go? And so, you know, you got to do that. Now, that doesn't mean he's never going to get rid of those. It just means that, you know what, we better be careful about this matter of how we behave. And the Bible even mentions that. Two children. Children, listen, I know they're not in here. Even a child is known by his doings, whether they be evil. You say evil actions by a child? Not good actions? Well, yes, again, you want to borrow my kids for a day? All right. They're sweet little kids. They're blessings. But you know what? Listen, our conduct matters at a young age. Hey, listen, that was from what we learned from Daniel. Think about the next guy. Your conduct still matter no matter what your age. Zacharias, he wasn't a spring chicken. All right. In fact, he even used the term an old man. Okay. But you know what? Your earthly status is affected even at any age by the conduct that you carry. Zacharias said that he was up in age. Of course, I know that he doubted the angel's message. And the angel said, well, you're going to figure that out really quick. Actually, not really quick. You're going to have to wait. Silent. No speaking. Now. And you know what? Hey, he was faithful, though. You say, well, he messed up. I know. He messed up. Okay? Hey, listen. You can mess up at any age. You can mess. Don't just look at our young people and say, well, they messed up. I know that their conduct here affects the future and maybe what we thought and you know what, but let's not close our eyes to it, because many people at many different periods of life, the devil's trying to always get us. He is. He's trying to knock us out of the battle. He wants the conduct of the elder generation to be torn down and knocked down so that the example's gone. That representation is gone. There won't be a father for John. There won't be a grandfather for John. All right. I understand that's a special situation, but folks, we need examples for our kids. All right? And so be careful. Your action, your conduct matters no matter your age. Daniel, think about him, by the way, before we get away from Daniel. You realize how many kings he served under? Some of them, by the way, they changed his status pretty quick sometimes. All right? If you remember, Daniel gets thrown in prison. At a little bit higher up in age, he'd ruled, he'd helped, he'd assisted, and then all of a sudden, another guy comes along and says, nope, don't need you, I'm putting you in prison. Till that guy got drunk one night, and the hand started writing on the wall, and he says, okay, bring Daniel out.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, listen, you are still needed, no matter what your age is. You know what my grandmother does? She's 89. I think I'm right on that. She might be 90. That's horrible. All right. But listen, you know what she does? She mails a card to every great-grandchild. She has over 56 great-grandchildren. And she has over 40-plus grandchildren and quite a few children and all that. She mails a card to my family, and I know she does it for the others because I've asked them. And she puts a blue and a pink balloon in every card for the kids in our family. Even if it's not your birthday, you get a balloon. All right? It's awesome. It's awesome until they're fighting over the remaining balloons. All right? After one of them pops. Okay. But listen, you know what? You say, well, that's a simple thing. It's just a card. No, it's not. It's not. She is very much needed. You are very much needed. And you know what? Your conduct here on earth can affect so many more things than you understand. So make sure that it's correct before the Lord. Hey, listen. Number 5, and we'll be gone. This is good to remember going into the new year, going into Christmas. Don't let the world or those with poor conduct dictate what you're supposed to be doing.
Right.
Don't do it. Okay. Proverbs 28:18. Whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved, but he that is perverse in his ways shall fall at once. Proverbs 13:20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Hey, listen. This time of year, if you notice, again, the words thing, you know the world uses? They use the magic of Christmas. Okay. It doesn't mean that I haven't seen videos with Santa Claus in it. It doesn't mean that I haven't said, you know, then one foggy Christmas Eve, okay? It doesn't mean that I don't sing that stuff. But you know what? Listen, don't let that become a big deal in your house, right? Be careful the words that you leave. You know, happy holidays. Okay, it's Merry Christmas, all right? The magic of Christmas. Listen, the world is so brainwashed by that, okay? You ask a kid, and it's the magic of Christmas, the special gift. Like it's going to sparkle or something, okay? All right? I've never seen any of my wrapped presents sparkle. It'd be awesome if they would wrap themselves and go under the tree. It'd be great, all right? But it doesn't happen that way. It's not real. You say, Brother Young, are you saying that in front of my child? If your child's in here, I'm sorry, and they believe in Santa Claus, okay? He's not real. All right, there you go. You explain that to him, okay? But listen, don't take their definition of Christmas for the next 3 weeks. By the way, I know we all have to do different things. I'm having Christmas on a different day. You know there's only one day. I mean, Christmas is all year, but there's a day that should be a little bit special. Okay, Jesus wasn't born on 5 days. He's born on one day. I don't care if it's not the right day. I ought to make it special. Okay, even if you have 7 different Christmas parties, okay, there ought to be something. And you know what's really cool? It's on a Sunday. That's awesome. I love it when Christmas is on a Sunday. Hey, listen, don't follow the decision-making process of the doom and gloom people, okay? The ditzy directing people, okay? The despicable, despotic, whatever you want to call them, people in charge, all right? Hey, listen, don't follow their decisions this year, okay? Just because they say gas prices is going to go up doesn't mean you have to go out and buy 600 gallons of gas. I mean, it'd be a good idea if it's cheap, but, you know, you're not even going to use it all before it goes bad, okay? Well, unless you're Brother Daffron. Thank you, Brother Daffron, all right? Pray for him on the road. But listen, be careful that going, you know, we're getting ready to go into the Christmas time. And this is it. And then after Christmas time, before you know it, we'll hit a new year. And you know what we need to do? Make sure that our status as a Christian, because I'm sure all of you have said, I'm Christian. I'm sure all of you have said, I go to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Okay? By the way, that's a status, but there's nothing that, okay, there's something special. You ought to think it's special. It's your church. But you know what? Don't make your status somehow way better just because you go to a name. But at the same time, listen, there is a conduct. And there is a standard. There's an example that has been set. And as we look towards the 50th anniversary, you know what I want to do? I want to go, but I'm excited about the stories. I'm excited about the pictures. Because I can go back and look and go, okay, what was the standard of conduct through the last 50 years? What was the way things were done? What was the exercise? And I think our goal is not to change all of those things and be, you know what? But listen, I want to know. Because I want to make sure that, you know what? Hey, I'm living up to the example that has been set before us. And by the way, the best place to find that is the Bible. And so this year, don't let the court cases, don't let the liberal media tell you what status and conduct are supposed to do. Yeah. You make sure you go out and you know what? That convicted me. This person over here is on trial because of a supposed status and conduct being inextricably intertwined. Hey, listen, that ought to be all of us as Christians. Right. We ought to be so sold out to the Bible, so sold out to what God wants us to do that people ought to go, what's wrong with those folks? You know what they ought to say? There is something different about that conduct. The way they do things is different. I want to find out what it is. And you know what we can show them? By the way, don't show them all your tips and cool tricks if they don't match up with the Bible. Our conduct, we ought to check it. We ought to stop and think about it. Going into a new year, how's my day-to-day walk? Is it like Daniel? Do they know where I pray? Do they know where I go to church? Do they know what I believe? To know where I stand on the Bible. Hey, listen, could they convict me if they found everything I did in the last week of being a good follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or would I just be an average Christian? Right. Or a below average Christian? Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you so much for the Word of God. And Lord, I don't ever want to take it for granted. Thank you for sending your Son Jesus to die for our sins. If there's somebody here tonight, God, that's not saved, I pray that they would get right with you and trust you as Savior. Lord, we all need to really recenter ourselves, refocus on what's right. Lord, forgetting the things that are behind, pressing on towards the prize, which is the fact that we can work until you come or you call us home or you come back, and I'm looking forward to either one of those things happening. Help us to live that way this week. Help us this weekend to go out and live that way and believe it and follow up through it, follow up with it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Let's